It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Here's a program that will range from German bonds to border collies. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. These days, players in the financial markets look to members of the Federal Reserve like stars in a constellation, navigation aids, with interest rates going up sometime in America, although maybe not soon. The president of the San Francisco Fed, John Williams, speaks today and tomorrow, and his comments will be closely scoured for hints about the route ahead. Also part of the market psychology on this Monday, what happened with German bonds, which are calm today following a wild ride last week. Quincy Crosby is market strategist at Prudential Financial.
The bond market in general for sovereigns for the U.S. and Germany should be boring. We should be yawning. We should never be talking about it. But ever since the European Central Bank made clear that they were moving towards quantitative easing, German yields have come down dramatically. However, what happened last week was a roller coaster. And there were more questions than answers last week. But I will say, we're starting to get a pickup in economic data, and that usually pushes your yields up. So I think that's what's happening, coupled with questions on how these markets are functioning. They're not used to these big, huge roller coaster moves.
Eurozone finance ministers are meeting today about the future of Greece's finances. Today in the U.S. starts an annual ritual in which TV networks show their new shows to potential advertisers. Now, these are called upfronts. The biggest hit last year was Fox's show Empire, and one component of that show's strategy was actually selling fewer ads. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn reports.
There are more than 14 minutes of ads on the average hour of network television. But on the last season of Empire, there were closer to 10, because Fox decided to sell fewer ads. Billy Gold, VP of Research at Carrot, says that makes each ad more valuable, especially if you're introducing a new product.
Advertising clutter is at an all-time high, and when you're launching a new car, it's a way to break through the clutter.
Ford paid a premium to put its 2015 Lincoln Navigator not just in the ad breaks, but in the show, driving around Cookie Lion. But if limited commercial interruption works, why is it so rare?
Well, you can't do it all the time, is the short answer.
Brian Weiser is an analyst at Pivotal Research.
Because there's only so many advertisers willing to pay so much of a premium, because at the end of the day, lower costs ultimately will win.
He says it's like the gold-plated Apple Watch of advertising, and there are only so many companies willing to pay that luxury price. Whether any networks will try to woo them this upcoming season with an empire-like ad strategy, we'll soon find out. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Moody's Investors Services has drawn up a list of the top hoarders among U.S. corporations. Apple, Microsoft, Google, Pfizer, and Cisco are holding on to a combined half a trillion with a T, dollars in cash, rather than bringing the money back to the U.S., paying tax, returning it to shareholders, or using it for research and development. Some see this as an argument for reforming the U.S. tax code so more of this money comes back. The Financial Times uses the word hoarder, but the companies involved would likely prefer a euphemism. Not sure what. Maybe retainers of non-repatriated surpluses? Well, at least somebody's finding work in this economy. Border collies. Tim Fitzsimmons reports from a green strip of grass that runs from the U.S. Capitol west toward the Lincoln Memorial.
It's a fresh spring morning on the National Mall. The air is full of fluttering elm tree petals. The calm water, the rolling green grass, the absence of predators. All this makes the National Mall an ideal habitat for a very special type of fowl.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. At least 15 right in front of me.
The Canada goose, a largely migratory waterfowl, is increasingly non-migratory. The National Mall has hundreds of what are known as resident geese. They don't go anywhere.
There's times of the year you walk over the Washington Monument grounds and you know, there's not a place for you to put down a picnic blanket without feeling disgusting. So
that's Michael Stakowitz. He's responsible for keeping the grass green on the National Mall, sometimes called the nation's front yard. He says some of them produce up to 3 pounds of droppings per day. They poison ponds and could clog up the newly renovated reflecting pool. But he's got a plan, an old technique for moving animals, border collies.
They go in this crouch where they actually, it is really amazing to watch these border collies like transform from a, you know, just a great dog into something that looks really predatory and wolf-like. And the geese recognize that.
The National Park Service plans to hire a team of border collies, plus their trainer, to harass the geese until they decide to pack up and leave. Turns out it's actually a fairly big business, and the company Geese Police is the biggest kid on the block.
So they're wet, so they were working.
Out in Northern Virginia, I met with Max and Bell, and Doug Marks, they're human. He's the owner of Geese Police DC, a national company, and this is one of its franchises.
Max is about 12.
Every day, he and his pups drive around the D.C. area making stops at clients. And here's the Border Collie's trade secret.
The Border Collie uses a wolf-like glance that they call the eye, and they use that to intimidate the stock into flight or movement. And basically, it unnerves the geese. They think it's a predator.
After a few visits per day, sometimes just the sight of his white pickup truck sends the geese flying. The Park Service won't say how much it's planning to spend on the dog program, but it has put the money aside for this fiscal year. So if all goes according to plan, the nation's front yard will be hearing more and less. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
No geese were harmed in the making of this story, although a goose did nip the reporter. My God, man, you could have been killed. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.